Hey people, this is Aram. Ever wanted to play a game with me? Well, now you can. Starting October 1st, I'll be running games for our Patreon supporters. We'll have two tiers available, a pair of one-shot adventures every month that rotate games and settings, and a continuous Dungeons & Dragons campaign that plays twice a month. We're also giving our amazing Jade supporters a free trial of our one-shot games, so look for the invitation in your email. Our one-shots will rotate through worlds and systems and is a great way to try out something new or to have a unique experience with a game you already know. Our continuous campaign will be set in the Godsfall world, where players create members of the Line, powerful mortals who have sworn to keep the balance between humanity and the gods. Everyone who signs up for our online games will also get access to all of our Patreon bonus content, including behind-the-scenes videos, interviews with the cast, monthly mini-adventures and settings, print-ready art, and early access to podcasts and video streams. So check us out at patreon.com/Vardian. When we last left the Jackdaws, Brannock, Inshova, and Urukov had escaped on Neon, a royal barge, and been picked up by the eccentric Captain Rugov Cesar and his equally unusual ship, a Kadarian supply vessel known as the Burden. They had assimilated themselves into the crew, but Brannock was hounded by visions and voices urging him to head further north as the Burden approached the edge of the Kadarian blockade.
In Brannock's mind's eye, we see the two jackdaws. They haven't been bought, but you can tell that they are kind of softening to what this guy is saying. And they're standing behind Brannock and almost like patting him a little bit, like, they're there, buddy. Expecting him to be like affected as much as they were. Because in Inshova's mind, he's just like, he's an orphan just like me. And then in Urukov's mind, he's like, he would make a fierce competitor, just like me. Had someone said this to Brannock, had anyone paid any attention to Brannock in the past like 5 years or his entire life, he would have sworn his allegiance. He hears what he's saying, but it's almost as if anything anyone says anymore, volume-wise, is lower than the victory cheers that he's hearing in his mind.
It's all a distracting buzz.
Yeah.
They're all like, he's this just like me. He's that just like me. And Brannock's like, he's a liar just like them.
Exactly. Mm. For the first time in his life, honest about what he's doing and not just being the sacrificial lamb. And Brannock says,
I want your ship.
That kind of takes him aback.
Two of the crew members like scurry away. Kind of like that scene in Force Awakens where like the stormtroopers are walking down the hall and then they turn around and walk
like,
down.
Oh, fuck that.
They're like, fuck this noise.
Except for midshipman Landowski, who can't leave the wheel, so it's very uncomfortably like standing here. Yeah.
Did you hear that, Landowski?
Yes. That was very funny. Quite a jokester.
Very jokester.
This is not a joke. I want your ship.
Oh, God.
You are a man of money. How much for your ship?
In his mind eye, the jackdaws are just looking down in surprise. In real time, we go to the middle deck, and Inshova has just stopped whatever he's doing, moving things or whatever. And below deck, Urukov has, like, is literally just standing still as people pass him by, moving inventory like past him, kind of like dead, dead in the water, I guess. Yeah. I want to roll a persuasion. Would it be a persuasion?
Or intimidation, either one.
I don't know. It's honesty.
It's honest. Okay, I then...
Because he's
I would say persuasion. He's trying. If he's trying to be like, I'm not kidding.
Yeah.
Persuasion. It doesn't mean he has to do anything,
yeah,
but
yeah,
he'll
he doesn't
believe
have to do
you.
Anything. Yeah, 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 yeah. Here we go. So 16.
This guy, who's different than the other two, who your second in command warned you about, this guy who's always been just slightly unsettling, just turns dead to you with these weird icy blue eyes, stares you right into yours and says, I want this ship. And it's not a threat. Mm-hmm. It's not a demand. But you're absolutely sure
yeah.
that they believe they need this ship.
Sure. You want this ship. The price. Okay. And as he's talking, he takes off his coat. He unbuttons his shirt. And you just see his torso just scarred. And he goes, oh. The guy I killed gave me this who wanted my ship. I was 15. The guy who ran me through I killed when I was 20 gave me this one. The lady who wanted my ship at 25 gave me a kiss. And a kiss with her blade here. And he's pointing across his body. He's just deep, gnarly, scarred. Like, all he did was just put salt water on them and pack them with putty. He did not, like, they are not healed over. They're just gross. They're not infected, but they're just gross. Like everything else
Deadpool.
Is pristine. Yeah, but, yeah. Like, not but like, not cancerous
red
or anything.
And
yeah.
Angry.
Just red and angry, just, like, inflamed. But they're just, but, like, his skin did not heal straight. It made
yeah.
mountains and valleys.
Brannick. Like, leans forward at him, and he's like takes his hand and like puts it on his chest, and he's like, I'll give you this. And when he lets go, there's that, what was that, jewel? What did I have?
Let's just say that you guys had like a series of really expensive diamonds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When he lets go, in the divot, in like the biggest divot of one of the scars on his chest, is just like a diamond that has filled the entire space on your chest.
This crystal clear, pale blue diamond.
That has to be worth like how
each
much?
You have seven of them. They're all worth 1,000 gold each.
Okay. How much is the boat worth, you think?
The boat, I mean, boats are still expensive.
Yeah.
So the entire ship that he has, and again, it's not his, it's owned by Kadar, right? But the entire ship would be worth approximately 40,000 or 50,000 gold.
And I put a lot of my own work into it.
Okay.
Yeah, that's true. Right.
Oh, so we don't have enough money to buy the ship.
Not to buy the ship outright, but I again, his services were bought for 250 gold to take a big high risk maneuver. So 1,000 gold.
Okay.
Right? 2,000 gold, 3,000 gold would certainly buy a far more high risk maneuver.
Yeah. So he pushes.
And you know your gems. So you instantly know that this is valuable.
He kind of looks at it. He puts it back where it was. He goes, I kind of like it there.
I fucking knew you were going to say that. I was like, think of the other time. I'm like, it's going to be like a Steven Universe joke. Or it's going to be like.
I've always thought of myself as a crystal gem, and now I am.
As you're staring at it, one of your, one of the lower, you know, just shipmates that are always in the crow's nest up there shouts down, Captain! And they're looking through one of the spy glasses and like, command! And pointing towards, and you know, one of your lieutenants runs up with one of their spy glasses, and you're looking, and there are several Kadarian ships now. As you're coming around the coast and Port Bliss is coming into view, there are several command ships now, either in the port or near the port, but there's been what looks like a small blockade thrown up around Port Bliss. If you run into a command ship, questions are going to be asked about where you are.
Mm-hmm.
This is a very different game now.
Okay.
How fast is the Burden compared to a command ship?
The Burden would be overtaken. It is
okay.
a supply vessel,
gotcha.
So it would be overtaken by a command ship pretty easily.
And the Burden, it's the boat's not in a place where it should be.
The Burden should not be where it is, correct?
Okay.
I'm going to just hold on to this for a little bit. And he puts his shirt back on, buttons up, and it's kind of like falling out. So he puts it in his pocket. And he goes, I can't sell you the ship, but I can sell you what the ship offers. And he's like hoping he like gets it. And he's like, doesn't get it. He goes, passage. I'll give you passage somewhere.
He like stares at his hand. In his mind's eye, the two jackdaws flinch a little, almost like ready to shake hands. And all he hears is like almost like shouting in his head, just like, victory, victory, victory. And his hand's just like waiting for him the entire time. And it's just like louder and louder, like drums are playing, like, victory, victory. And he goes,
take me to the north.
And he shakes his hand.
I'll do that, but I'll tell you when. And he walks away, and he like, finishes his coat, he, like puts his coat on.
Shoots the guy at the steering wheel and takes the wheel for the first time.
No, it'll be in my time. And he walks, and he's like, but first, looks like teacher's home.
Looks like teacher's home?
I don't know.
That's not a saying. That doesn't even make sense. Class is in session.
Let me think of something else.
Looks like teacher's home?
Oh, it's like my mother was a teacher. So.
Looks like teacher's home? What does that mean?
What is like somebody arrives that you're like, oh, I got to
class is in session.
Yeah, but like.
Not like that?
Not like that.
Someone's arrived. Dinner served or.
Okay. Wait. So he goes, he walks back. Looks like dinner is going to be early. And the chef overhears it. He's like, oh, no. And he runs away.
The chef is in a chair with, right. Like, ice on his face. Like, oh, no.
He runs away. And then he goes, as the chef runs away, he actually realizes he made a mistake. But he's like, actually, prepare the white chairs. So there are 8 white chairs.
Okay. Excellent.
I hope you know what I'm saying.
No, I have okay. No idea what's
I'm gonna
what I'm saying.
I'm going to write down what I'm saying. Actually, I'll just tell you. We're getting at this
right,
anyway.
Exactly.
The barrels are hidden in chairs. They're hidden as chairs. We built backs for the barrels.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay, excellent. The white chairs will be prepared.
Hooray.
So. Excellent.
Hooray.
I want, like, when they... I know they're going to overtake us, so I just want to... I want everything ready for them.
Gotcha.
And I'm going to play something.
Gotcha. Do you have, as far as like your officers would give you options, right? So they would like swoop in, and you, by the time you get to your chambers, there's already a map laid out. And this is how they see it. We could try and turn around and go straight back, but we would be late to our mission, and we don't have now the money that we were going to take to then pay the bribes to, you know, so there was a whole, there's a whole casking thing that's fallen apart now. Do you share with them the desire for them to go north?
I say, fellows, we've just happened upon another gig, and I think we should invite our friends on board, show them what a real burden I can be.
It's a good cut.
If they do want to swing north.
please add that. Add that I snapped.
Steven snapped.
Give it a
Now, you guys have made the northern run through the Thousand Fang Bay before.
Mm-hmm.
It is risky,
mm-hmm.
but it is also a passageway where you will not be followed.
Mm-hmm.
Because no ship, unless they know what they're doing, would ever try it. And the ships of the line are way too big
mm-hmm.
to make those maneuvers.
Right.
Ironwood or not, they're going to be crashed upon the rocks. So if you could also slide north,
mm-hmm.
but you got to pick a direction.
Okay. But they're going to overcome us anyway, right?
Well, I mean, they also may not just launch for you. You've just spotted them.
Oh, okay.
So you have time to act, unless they're staring right in your direction and wondering, and they have a log
right.
chart out. I mean, you have a couple minutes to act here.
Okay.
Yeah.
I know what I want to do, and I'm just going to do it.
Do it.
I signal for them.
Oh. Excellent.
Yeah.
So you signal for the first ship?
I signal for that ship.
Yep.
And I think there's like a certain number of like... torches
sure.
you hold up
sure.
for command to come aboard.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I put up the 4 corners or whatever it is going to be. I hang the one red banner down the center of our sails for them to come aboard.
Okay.
How many ship?
There's maybe half a dozen, and there are two command ships, one of which is an Ironwood Galleon.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the ship that draws up sails, pulls up an anchor, and turns towards you.
Okay.
You instantly recognize this ship as the Blackwater.
Mm-hmm.
It is one of the famed ships of the Kadarian Navy, and its crew usually holds anti-theot priests, which means that mm-hmm. there's very high-ranking officers aboard. Because mm-hmm. the church and the military are the same in Kadar.
Right.
Yeah. Cool. And they'll be upon you in about 5 minutes.
Great. And then I think my crew knows what... This is like a game that... a ruse that we've run before.
Yes.
So they know what to do. So they kind of all... They all put on their best. They put it... They're all right up, like, zipped all the way up top. And they're all buttoned. Everything is... Like, literally the shoes that they wear every day, they take off and they put the shoes on. They only put on for, like, when high command will come on these ships.
Right.
Yeah,
the fancy kind of shoes that are always highly polished.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Hello, God's Fall listeners. This is Archon Mordok, demigod of balance and the dean at the Temple of Udea. I am here to formally invite you to listen and watch Rise of the Demigods, a story set 105 years in the past, just before the Great God's War.
That's right, Dean Mordok. Hey people, this is Slugs, the demigod of spiders, and I am also here to talk to you about Rise of the Demigods. Our story features me, along with all of my friends who are new students at the Temple of Udea.
The Rise of the Demigods story informs God's Fall, but does not reveal secrets. So you can listen to both shows without worrying that one will spoil the other.
You can also watch Rise of the Demigods every Wednesday at 6 p.m. Central on twitch.com/godsfall. The cast and DM Vardian are live in chat and ready to answer any and all questions you have about the show. We have video and podcast archives of every single episode ready for you to watch and listen so you can get caught up whenever you want.
Links to the video and podcast versions of Rise are available on our website, demigodsfall.com, including YouTube, Twitch, iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, and a direct RSS feed.
So come by and check out me, Slugs, and find out what events led to the Great Gods War. Wait, the what now?
Don't worry about it, Slugs. You'll find out soon enough.
While this is happening,
The ship's tailor goes over to the three jackdaws and it's just measuring them and I don't know what to do about this big guy.
While that's happening, So that's what's happening to the jackdaws now. Okay, I was gonna say while everyone's running about, I want the jackdaws to be picking up some type of weapon and hiding it on them.
Sure,
because I imagine their weapons were confiscated.
Yes.
And they're somewhere on the ship.
There's no way they're going to let them walk around with a greatsword.
Yeah, maybe there's like a dagger or knives or something that they know is available.
Yeah.
And also it seems as though they're a little befuddled at the fact that like the entire crew is, they're approaching a command ship and they're not arming themselves at all. So by instinct, the jackdaws and Brannock, I would assume, would want to be arming themselves or getting ready for a fight. And these guys seem to be doing the opposite of that. They're dressing up for the fight, almost like getting ready for their funeral. And the jackdaws, the trio, is just thinking like, I'm not dying today.
As they're doing that, Captain Rugov runs over to sees them getting fitted and kind of getting shoved in the clothes that barely fit them or too big or too small and stuff. Like he's like stuffing an ascot in his shirt and he goes like, all right, boys, before we move on, my fellows, I want to bring up something. Now, I wouldn't be any sort of a thief or orphan if I didn't take care of my family. And what was offered to me, I don't know if you heard, but I don't think it's enough to take care of my family. I don't know if it's enough to get victory for myself. So if you do me this one thing, I'll do you 7 things.
And what is he getting at? What are you getting at? What's the thing?
It's just like, who knows?
Play along?
Just play along. Don't I have this under complete control. He's
kind of
like winking at him. He's like, don't worry. I have this. This is going to be all okay.
It's like when you tell your dogs to behave.
Right.
You have company coming over.
Just like, hey,
don't jump on anyone. Don't bite anyone.
I know you're new. I know this has been kind of a whirlwind 3 days, but I feel like all three of us has connected. You know, I see a lot of myself in the three of you, which is kind of crazy, but I am a big personality.
The jackdaws kind of stare. Like, they're used to, like, fighting, or this seems more closer to diplomacy or art, almost.
Right.
It seems like a high school play, you know, none of them went to school. And they basically don't know how to react. They're agreeing to a ruse, but they don't know the moving parts.
Right. They're agreeing to a plan, but they have no idea what the plan is.
Yeah, what the plan is, basically. And now they're all, like, in some type of formal and attire.
Just formal naval attire.
Yeah, formal naval attire.
And just as before, just the moments before they're about to be boarded, Captain Rogoff takes out his top teeth, and he hunches over.
Mm. Oh, interesting. Okay. So I would say that the Blackwater swings past and then swings back around to match speed with you, and then both ships drop anchor and slow to a halt. They drop down his captain's rowboat. They swing over. You guys latch him in, and you kind of winch him up onto the deck.
And he's sitting in a chair that was brought to the deck. And to his right is Sadova, and to his left is Narden. And they both help him up. Mm. And he starts walking over, and he goes, "Excuse me for not... I'm not going to do a tongue... I don't know how to do, like, a... Excuse
yeah.
me.
Yeah. yeah.
Excuse me for not seeing to you myself."
A man with shock white hair, tall, bronze, squared off shoulders, very serious features, and what is clearly a seeker staff, steps onto your ship, flanked by two monks, and who are just basically staring everyone down, not saying a word, but their eyes are constantly darting to any possible threat. The man walks over to you, nods. "What are you doing here, Captain?"
As soon as he says that line, in Shova's mind eye with the trio, he has a smirk on his face, and he like says under his they say in a round, but on Shova's leading the round from his like orphan days, and he just says he just names the play. The play that he's seeing right now, and he says, "The old man and the
shopkeeper."
And he names the, what would you call it? It's a play, but yeah. it's a grift.
The grift. Yeah, he names, yeah. Yep, he yeah. names.
He names the grift. Grift. Yeah, he names the grift.
So this anti-theot priest strides onto your ship, clearly incredibly comfortable in any place he is. "Captain, what are you doing here?"
"Well, fellows."
You got whatever it is, you don't even know how long you got to hold it for.
No, I don't think I did an old man voice before, but now I'm going to.
You did that. You did.
I know I did. "Well, fellows, I came back to the place I was found for my birthday." And there's all the men have lined up, like they're lined one by one, leading to this giant pristine table with these eight white chairs at the top near the steering wheel, I guess, of it. Whatever.
Yeah.
And I'd like to join it with some people I really look up to. I'd like to share it with some people I really revere.
I need you to roll persuasion.
Yeah, that's fine.
I would say give it a +5, because you're playing it that way.
Right.
Yeah.
Then 15.
15, all right.
Well, it's a deception.
Oh, yeah.
Well, no, I mean, he's not lying about anything. I mean, this is who he is. Frankly, if anything, he's showing his actual person, kind of. So I would say it's persuasion.
But that's not why he's there.
No, it's not. but also, I mean, I don't think this particular guy isn't expecting this kind of response from this person. So maybe he'll suspect him in a second. Right now, he's just
trying to persuade him to do something.
Also completely confused.
Yeah,
like none of this makes any goddamn sense.
Yeah, he's got an entire crew Right. Like, what a butler crew. Hell? Right. A butler crew.
Right, right. And why are, yeah, why are you here and what's with the chairs?
Yeah.
And he just kind of, so he looks right at you. He looks towards the chairs. He sighs. There seems to be like a wave of tiredness that just kind of washes over him for a second. And he's like, fine. He walks over to the table with you and he turns and he's like, Captain, if you have business in Port Bliss, there is... kind of looks over to the side for a second and looks back to you. A quarantine.
He like kind of looks over to his two, his first officer and his lieutenant, and he's like, my business is here in the sea.
There's no way that you would know I was here. He takes a seat, and these two monks like stand directly behind his chair. Don't sit, just kind of cross their hands in front of them and cross their hands behind them in parade rest and just stand. So again, staring at everyone.
Right. And the way I kind of imagine it is, like, right behind, like, the wheel is, like...
The Last Supper.
There's, like, a little bit of a raised part above, like, the retractable walls. Yeah. So it's, like, not part of... It's part of the ship, but it's not attached proper.
Sure.
So that part is... That part's, like, you can lose that part, and then you can, you know...
Right, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. Basically, you set it's like I'm the saucer separation, right?
Right.
You're sacrificing a bit of the ship.
Right.
Gotcha.
Does Brannick know these monks, or why a commander would have monks?
Yes, absolutely. Brannick knows the Kadarian. All anti-theots of a certain rank would have these warrior monks that are basically just assigned to protect them. They are unbelievably skilled. They can snatch arrows clean out of the air.
Yeah.
So these are just, you know, well-trained bodyguards.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so the Jackdaws know this.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Oh, man.
It's your flim-flam.
No, I know, but I have it planned in my head, and it's just so stupid.
Do it.
No, I know, I just... reconcile it with myself.
So, is this like a dining table where food is now being
it's
served?
It's a dining table where there's food stuff and there's candles.
Nice.
There's very clearly candles.
Okay, fair.
And essentially, what I want to do is, I mean, we'll talk for a little bit.
Sure, of course.
But I want him to go up and do the pull the tablecloth off, but then purposely knock the candles down. And he doesn't care about losing the barrels anymore. He's got enough money. And he's, like, quadrupled his one barrel order.
Right.
He doesn't have to go that way.
Right.
But just to do that, cause confusion, and then, like, leave.
Wait, he's going to blow up the ship?
He's going to blow up the part of the ship that doesn't need.
Oh, my God.
That's been specifically built for something like this.
So he's basically going to pull
the tablecloth
off. But, like,
a barrel can
off.
Destroy an entire, like, ship. Like,
yeah.
One barrel.
Well, I imagine, like, there's, like, some big-ass lever.
Yeah.
Right? That he's basically going to walk up to the wheel. He won't touch the wheel, but he will... throw that fucking lever,
right.
And then the whole back end of the ship
right at
is
the
just
center of the wheel
separate.
Is this like is
right.
The whole ship is like on a there's a whole gear shift that going inside,
yeah.
And he just turns the center of the wheel to like make this kind of like they don't even notice it's moving so slow that it's just kind of like moving out, right. And then he's just like, I have this trick, and then he like, I don't know, we're gonna fucking do it.
Right. I would say it would start off a slow,
right.
And then basically the whole back end of the ship is just gonna fall away,
yeah.
And then crash into the water,
right.
And then explode as
with
you
them,
guys.
Yeah.
Okay. And I would also say that's got so it's a false anchor, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there's an anchor on the inside of that ship, but this false anchor is the only thing holding your ship back. So the second you pull that lever, not only does it fall away, but your ship rockets.
The false
forward.
Anchor is attached to that area.
Yep.
So when that falls away, it pulls it with
pulls
it.
Pulls them down.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
Damn, blow them up underwater.
All right. All right. So you all sit down to eat. This is very nice, Captain. I do appreciate the distraction. It's been a difficult week.
Oh, go on. That can be an old Jewish man. Go on.
Who knows?
Go on, tell me. I sound like my booby.
There's a freckle on your shemeckle.
God.
This has interrupted the blockade.
Yes.
And our plans, supplies are difficult. Apparently not for you.
A lot of this is donated.
Well, You're very...
It's my birthday.
You're very generous benefactors, Captain. And he is cutting into like a perfect piece of lamb. Like the knife just glides through it. Your chef has pulled out all the stops and has clearly earned his keep this day.
As like a garnish in his glass is his teeth, but nobody knows. So he takes a big swig of his drink, his orangey juice, and he like kind of just naturally puts his teeth back in. There's one thing to say about your health, and if you don't take care of it, it won't take care of you. And he like stands up. Gentlemen, I'm sure you've heard of the burden, but you have not been a burden on my day. He kind of stands up even more straight. And he goes, and with that, I'd like to say to certain three fellows of mine, North. And he cranks the middle of the wheel.
Oh, nice.
And it goes, whoosh, whoosh, and like the fire, you see it all slow-mo, like there. It's kind of like Inception, where like they fall from the back of their
chair. Totally, because all the chairs get dumped back.
Everything gets dumped back, and it's all like what? And they see this flame, and they see these barrels fall, and this fire just catches, and they poked holes in all the barrels, and you see this catch fire, and just like whatever, what color is the acid?
It's this incredibly, it's like a white hot.
Yeah, so just this huge white. It's a beautiful blue day, and you see this white kind of match the white of the sky as well, and like the other, the people on that ship, they probably don't even know what they're looking at yet. It just like kind of looks like this huge, like it almost looks like something giant fell into the water and the white foam has blasted up.
And your ship, just as soon as it's free of those anchors, it just rockets
and
forward.
And he like runs down the stairs and he says to Darden, he goes, we can only do that three more times.
And as he says three more times, he runs past and like he's just like, happy birthday to me, happy birthday to me. Yeah. And he's like pulling cranks and like turning levers.
Yeah, and now you see him like he has full control of the ship. Like if he had to, he could do everything on the ship. You see him like untying knots in a beautiful way. You see him pick up two barrels and like he's not as deft with it, but he can still move with both of them. You see
him
like
exactly where they need
the jackdaws. The jackdaws think back of the time that they've spent on the ship and all the odd things that they had seen, and it wasn't so much as everyone was running the ship and had their own specific part, but it was almost like they were engineers keeping the ship like in tune so he can run it by himself.
It's such a crazy machine
that
they constantly have to basically maintain it in order so he can run around.
Yeah. It's like crazy Willy
Wonka
stuff.
Yeah, he's like running past and he like kind of slides on the bridge and he looks at them and he goes, this ship was nothing when it was given to me, but I've given everything to this ship. And now it is me. And he runs past.
He's just like, he slides over a table or he slides over a rail and he's like, points finger guns. He's like, don't be a hazard, dude. And
No.
Panic explosion behind you. The Blackwater is rocked onto its side and rocked back. Crew members are thrown overboard. So there's just calamity. And as they're, you know, struggling to catch up with that, you have already sailed.
And we've dropped all but one of the barrels, but behind us. So like this flame is catching like the barrels
that
it floats by. So, but we have one, so we could sell that too.
And I feel like the boat, I feel like the other boats, the command boats, I feel like the command boats were ready to intercept him on the way to Port Bliss. So they are ready to like receive him there. And he has rocketed in like, instead of going like, what is it? Like southeast?
Yes.
He's going southeast.
He's going due north.
Yeah, he's going like straight north.
And the other ship was, it's still its anchors and its sails drawn, it would need at least 10 minutes to get started. So by the time it's even got its sails up to check on the other ship, you're already past the horizon.
And so they're going. He's kind of at his front part there, and he kind of beckons to the three guys to come up to him.
Yeah, trio was just standing there basically in poorly made, like, tuxedos almost. Like, poorly made Kadarian tuxedos.
Like Flintstone tuxedos.
Yeah, just, like, staring at, like, this real, all these weird contraptions and stuff going on. Like, this is a fight that, like, this is a way... They're so used to direct fighting and, like, know your enemy type stuff. They're just, like, kind of, like... they're taken off their guard by all this like madness going on.
And he like calls them up and he's not without even looking at them. He's like, "Did I ever tell you I got my name?"
No, just like really quick. Mm-hmm. And Shova's like, "Tell us." And Brannock's just staring off, like just
staring,
not even,
just staring due north.
Yeah, just staring due north.
I was born. I was bought in Port Bliss. When that captain took me on, he said he kept asking me what was home, and I would say Port Bliss. And he would slap me. I would say, "Port Bliss, sir." He would slap me. Until I caught on. I would say, "The sea, sir. Rugov Caesar. The sea is home. Welcome home, fellows." So while you cry over spilled beer, I don't sulk. I grab life by the hips and go home. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Call up DJ, we out of here. I need a new captain of the ship to steer. Hey, hey, hey. Now everybody follow my lead. From Moody Cinemax to the old school way.
Thank you for joining us for the second bonus episode with Captain Rugov Caesar and the Jackdaws. For my DM's notes for this episode, behind-the-scenes videos, maps, character art, and early access to future episodes, visit patreon.com/Vardian. And we'll see you next time in the world of the Five Kingdoms. Middle child wild, I ain't nothing to fuck with. They asked me, Hulk, how you get toned? I told them I was at the gym all night long. Weightlifting my dreams along with shows. If you try to pick them up, they wouldn't leave the flow. Why you need to pop the trunk for the gun, though? I'm rocking short sleeves, that's a gun show. There's only one goal, and that's to come up. I'm going in, somebody hold my nunchucks. I got the one up, I don't need the one up. You said I jump kicked them, but that was just a soft punch. With the left hand, man, you a puny banner. Oh, you didn't know? Super is my standard. I'm the man that your girl ain't seen before. And my girl is the one that you're feening for. They look at me and they wonder if I am a clone of the lost wonder, Colossus arose. Might have seen me in a Halloween wardrobe, rocking a bigger fur coat than Macklemore. All I gotta do is flex, I don't have to glow. I'm so cool, I don't even have to smoke. This show was produced and edited by Dead Ghost Productions. Find out more about us and all the shows we make at deadghostpro.com.